text 63, yatha purusha atmanam ekam adarsha chakshushoh dīdhā bhūtam ebekṣetā. Abhayo yathā purusha ātmānam ekam adarsha chakshushah dīdhā bhūtam abhikṣetā tathaivāntaram ābayo yathā purusha ātmānam ekam adarsha chakshushah dīdhā bhūtam ebekṣetā tathaivāntaram ābayo yathā purusha ātmānam ekam ādarśa cakṣuṣo dīdhā bhūtam abhikṣetā tathaivāntaram ābayo. Matajis, yatha, as purushaha, the living entity, atmanam, his body, ekam, one, adarsha, in a mirror, chakshushaho, by the eyes, didha bhutam, existing as two, abhiksheta, sees, tatha, similarly, eva, certainly, antaram, difference, avayo, between ourselves. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. As a person sees the reflection of his body in a mirror to be one with himself and not different, whereas others actually see two bodies, so in our material condition, in which the living entity is affected and yet not affected, there is a difference between God and the living entity. Please repeat after me. As a person sees the reflection of his body in a mirror to be one with himself and not different, whereas others actually see two bodies, so in our material condition, in which the living entity is affected and yet not affected, there is a difference between God and the living entity. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Being affected by the conditioning of matter, Mayavadi philosophers cannot see the difference between the Supreme Lord and the living entity. When the sun is reflected in a pot of water, the sun knows that there is no difference between himself and the reflected sun in the water. Those in ignorance, however, perceive that there are many small suns reflected in each and every pot. As far as the brilliance is concerned, there is brilliance both in the original sun and in the reflections. But the reflections are small, whereas the original sun is very large. Vaishnava philosophers conclude that the living entity is simply a small sample of the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Qualitatively, God and the living entities are one, but quantitatively, the living entities are small fragments of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord is full, powerful, and opulent. In the previous verse, the Lord says, "My dear friend, you and I are not different." This non-difference refers to qualitative oneness, for it was not necessary for the Paramatma, the Supreme Personality, to remind the conditioned soul that he is not one in quantity. The self-realized soul never thinks that he and the Supreme Personality of Godhead are one in every respect, although he and the Supreme Personality of Godhead are one in quality. The living entity is prone to forget his spiritual identity, whereas the Supreme Personality never forgets. This is the difference between Lipta and Alipta. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternally Alipta, uncontaminated by the external energy. The conditioned soul, however, being in contact with material nature, forgets his real identity. Therefore, when he sees himself in the conditioned state, he identifies himself with the body. For the Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, there is no difference between the body and the soul. He is completely soul. He has no material body. Although the super soul, Paramatma, and the individual soul are both within the body, the super soul is devoid of designation, whereas the conditioned soul is designated by his particular type of body. The super soul is called Antarjami, and he is extensive. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 13.3. Kshetragam chapi mang vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharatah. O scion of Bharat, you should understand that I am also the knower in all bodies. The super soul is present in everyone's body, whereas the individual soul is conditioned in one particular type of body. The individual soul cannot understand what is taking place in another's body. But the super soul knows very well what is happening in all bodies. In other words, the super soul is always present in his full spiritual position, whereas the individual soul is prone to forget himself. Nor is the individual soul present everywhere. Generally, in his conditioned stage, the individual soul cannot understand his relationship with the super soul. But sometimes, when he is free from all conditioned existence, he can see the real difference between the super soul and himself. When the super soul tells the conditioned soul, "You and I are one and the same," it is to remind the conditioned soul of his spiritual identity as being qualitatively one. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, "Jathol mukad bishvalingad dhumad bapi sa sambhavat api atmatena bhi matahad jathagni prithag ulmukat." Fire has different features. There is flame, the spark, and the smoke. Although these are one in quality, there is still a difference between the fire and the flame and the spark and the smoke. The living entity becomes conditioned, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead is different because he does not become conditioned at any point. In the Vedas it is stated, "Atma tatha prithak drishta Bhagavan Brahma Sangitaha." Atma is the individual soul as well as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the seer of everything. Although both are spirit, there is always a difference. In the Smriti, it is also said, "Jathagne kshudra vishvalinga bacharanti." Just as sparks manifest in a large fire, similarly a small individual soul are present in big spiritual flame. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, "Matsthani sarvabhutani na chaham teshu avasthitaha." All beings are in me, but I am not in them. Although all living beings are resting in him, as small fiery sparks rest on a large flame. Both are differently situated. Similarly, in the Vishnu Puran, it is said, "Ekadeshe sthitak nagne sthitak shagne josna bitarini jatha parasya brahmana shaktis tathedam akhilam jagat." Fire is situated in one place, but it distributes heat and light. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is distributing his energies in different ways. The living entity is but one of these energies, marginal energy. The energy and the energetic are one in one sense, but they are similar, they are differently situated as energy and energetic. Similarly, the Satchidananda form confirmed in Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha, is different from that of the living entity in both his conditioned and liberated states. Only atheists consider the living entity and the personality of Godhead equal in all respects. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore says, "Mayabadir bhashya shunile hoy sarbanash." If one follows the instructions of Mayavadi philosopher and believes that the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living and the individual soul are one, his understanding of real philosophy is forever doomed. Hare Krishna, quite a long purport. Jatha purusha atmanam ekam adarsha chakshusha didha bhutam abhiksheta tathaibantaram avayo. As a person sees the reflection of his body in a mirror to be one with himself and not different, whereas others actually see two bodies, so in our material condition in which the living being is affected and yet not affected, there is a difference between God and the living entity. Whenever we notice that there is the presentation to defeat Mayavad philosophy, Srila Prabhupada went all the way to smash it. Just like in this purport. In this verse, it has been very clearly pointed out the similarity between the living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At the same time, there is a difference between living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bheda and abheda. There is a simultaneous difference and non-difference between Jiva and Ishvara. The Vedic philosophy generally deals with these three principal considerations. All the Vedic tattvas, all the Vedic siddhantas are based on these three considerations: Jiva, Ishvara, and Prakriti. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna dealt with 5 points. What are those 5? There are 2 extra above that. Very good. Karma and Kala. So all philosophies generally deal with these 3 principles. And especially the Vedanta philosophy, the Vedanta Sutra, the commentaries of Vedanta Sutra. Vedanta Sutra is actually pointing that same principle. All the Vedanta Sutra. The difference and simultaneously non-different. What is the non-difference? The non-difference is qualitative non-difference. Qualitatively, Jivas are spiritual and Ishvara or the Supreme Personality of Godhead is spiritual. There is non-difference. But quantitatively, there is a difference. And with the Prakriti is different completely, qualitatively as well as quantitatively. Qualitatively because it is separated energy of the Lord. It's not, the Lord has nothing to do with this Prakriti, but the Jivas came from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna makes that point. Bhume rapo analo bayu khaṁ mano buddhi devacha ahankare ityaṁ me bhinna prakriti rashtadha. Bhinna, separated prakriti, ashtadha, has this 8, is composed of these 8 elements. But then Krishna is saying, apareyam itastannam, that this prakriti is apara, inferior, separated from me. But prakritiṁ viddhi me parāṁ, there is a nature which is superior. And jīva bhūtāṁ mahābhāho, the living entities are coming from that superior nature. That's a very simple conclusion. Time and time again, the Vedic scriptures, this has pointed that out. But the trouble started when Kali Yuga began. It's a very troublesome age. The trouble actually started when the Lord saw that in the name of the Vedas, all kinds of animal sacrifices are going on. Animal sacrifices are going on in the name of the Vedas. Vedic yajna nindasi yajna videraha shruti jatam shruti Vedas jatam, generated from the Vedas. So in a Nindasi, he did not approve of it. And Sadaya Ridaya Darshita Poshu Khatam, seeing this unnecessary slaughter, his merciful heart, Sadaya Ridaya, became afflicted. Sadaya Ridaya Darshita Poshu Khatam. Therefore, Keshava Dhrita, who knows? Buddha Sarira. Keshava Krishna came as Lord Buddha. Keshava Dhrita, Buddha Sarira. Jai Jagadisha Hare. Why Buddha came? Why Krishna came as Buddha? To stop the animal sacrifice. What was the basis of this animal sacrifice? Shruti Jatam, the Vedas. Therefore, in order to stop this animal sacrifice, what Buddha did? Rejected the Vedas. And he created a new path, so to say. A new path, he's rejecting the Vedas, he created a new concept. And what was the concept? The Buddhist concept, that the purpose of dharma is to do good things. There are 10 good actions. And the ultimate goal of life is to merge into nothing. And that is called nirvana, to become nothing. That's why Buddhism is popularly known as Voidism or Shunnavad, Voidism or Nihilism, nothingness, becoming nothing, void. It is atheism. It says that why it's atheism? Because Ved na maniya Buddha hoilo nastik. Because the Buddhas, the followers of Buddha, did not follow the Vedas, they became atheists. Because without the Vedas, there is no way of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So because the Vedas have been rejected, there is no possibility of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Prabhupada pointed out, but the positive side of it is that they are following Lord Buddha, who is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So not directly, but indirectly, they are following the Lord. And they are somehow, they are theists. They are on the path of dharma. Some benefit is there. But that consideration was only temporary. So in this way, and that's why we find that Buddha's main objective was actually ahimsa, non-violence, to stop animal sacrifice, animal slaughter. But to stop the animal slaughter, he had to reject the Vedas. And then when the mission was accomplished, now there is a need to re-establish the Vedas. Therefore, Lord instructed Lord Shiva to come and re-establish the Vedas, bring the Vedas back. The Vedas have been rejected. People, actually at that time, practically all over India, people became Buddhists. Therefore, Shankaracharya, Lord Shiva came, Shankara came as Shankaracharya. And he also admitted that Mayavadam Ashak Chastram Prachanna Bodham Uchyate. Then we can see that he is establishing one principle, Ashak Chastram, the temporary Shastra, temporary Siddhanta, which is Prachanna Bodham, covered Buddhism. Why covert Buddhism? Because in order to convince the Buddhists, he had to use their term and their concept. Because if he came with a pure Vedic concept, the Buddhists would have said, well, that's nothing, we have nothing to do with that. Now that's your philosophy, that's the Vedic philosophy. We are not interested in the Vedas. Therefore, Shankaracharya took their principles, their philosophy, their concept and their terminology. They say that the goal of life is nirvana. And nirvana means to become nothing, shunna, to become void, to become nothing. Shankaracharya took the cue from that. You are saying nirvana, nirvana, nirvana means to become nothing. But this concept is from the Vedas. And according to the Vedas, nirvana means to merge into Brahman. So he just completely reversed the concept. So nirvana doesn't mean to become nothing. Nirvana means to become merge into Brahma. And then he pointed out, he developed a different concept of Brahma, which is covered Buddhism, Prachanna Bodham, Uchyate. And that concept is that Brahman is the ultimate and Jagat is not, and Jagat is Mitha. Brahma Satya, Jagan Mitha. This world, this material nature is false. Now there is the philosophical conflict with Shankaracharya and the Vedic consideration. This Brahma is a Vedic concept, but Shankaracharya gave a different concept of Brahma. The different concept is that according to the Vedic understanding, Brahman is the bodily effulgence of the Lord. The entire spiritual sky is permeated with Brahma, and that Brahma is emanating from the body of the Lord. But Shankaracharya, he pointed that Brahman is the ultimate absolute, there is nothing beyond Brahma. And everything, wherever there is any form and variety, that is all material and it is a transformation. It is due to reflection of Brahma. Brahma, in the different modes of material nature, Brahma is manifesting in different ways. Like generally, say now we can find the Vedic concept, three things, Ishvara, Jiva and Prakriti. God, living entities and matter. And he summarized that concept or misconstrued that concept that Brahma in the mode of goodness is Ishvara. Brahma in the mode of passion is Jiva. Brahma in the mode of ignorance is Vastu, matter. So for matter to evolve into consciousness is not possible. But the Jivas who are in the mode of goodness, they're conscious. When the Jivas transcend the mode of passion and come to the mode of goodness, then the Jivas become Ishvara. So this philosophy of Shankaracharya is presented, he presented it in the form of Vivartavad or theory of illusion. And the general terminology of his Siddhanta is Kevala Advaitavad. Kevala Advaitavad. Absolute non-duality. So non-dual. Ultimately Jiva and Ishvara are non-dual. Jiva, and there is no Jiva and Brahma, ultimately Jiva will become Brahman. And the goal of life is to become Brahman, as I pointed out, that is the concept of Nirvana. Now this concept is completely opposed to the Vedic Siddhanta. But Shankaracharya, he himself said, prachanna bauddham uchyate asat shastram, asat shastram. Asat, the word asat can mean temporary, and it can also mean inappropriate. So he introduced that simply to accomplish his mission. And then came Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya defeated Shankaracharya's theory with Vishishtadvaitavad. And then came Vishnu Swami and Madhvacharya with their Dvaitavad and Shuddha Dvaitavad. I'm sorry, Dvaitavad and Dvaitadvaitavad. And then came Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he harmonized all that in the form of Achinta Bheda Bhed Tattva. Achinta Bheda Bhed Tattva. Now, if we want to picture that development, then we can say that in the field of atheism, of Buddhism, on the field, on the ground, Shankaracharya dug the foundation. When you dig the foundation, the building will go up that way, but which way does the foundation go? Foundation goes down. Therefore, apparently, it seems that the Shankaracharya's considerations are conflicting with the Vedic concept. But actually it is necessary, it was necessary at that time to build up the structure. So on that foundation, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, and other Vaishnava Acharyas built the temple. Therefore, we must remember, time and time again, Prabhupada actually said that Shankaracharya is our Acharya. Prabhupada never had anything wrong, anything against Shankaracharya. Prabhupada always respected Shankaracharya, always gave the credit. But what he actually contested was Mayavad philosophy, or Kevaladvaitavad philosophy. So now the temple is built. The temple needed the foundation, the temple needed the structure, it came up. Temple is built. Now with what is the need? What is absolutely necessary now? To establish the deities. So in that temple, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established Radha Krishna. So this is how we get the perfect and complete picture. And then came Srila Prabhupada and showed the world how to worship Radha Krishna. With his, the same Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Achinta Bheda Bheda Tattva. Like the whole thing that Prabhupada is presenting here is the Achinta Bheda Bheda Tattva. He is summarizing, he is rather expanding that concept. And that's what that's why this purport is so long. And that's why we see that whenever Prabhupada got an opportunity, he smashed Mayavad. Now we can see that is why Prabhupada came. What's Prabhupada's pranam mantra? Nirvishesha shunnavada paschatta deshatari. Nirvisheshvad means impersonalism. Shankaracharya's Mayavad. And Shunyavad is Lord Buddha's Buddhism, Voidism. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to smash that. I'm sorry, Srila Prabhupada came to defeat that and establish Krishna consciousness all over the world. We can see all over the world, there is such massive acceptance of voidism and impersonalism. Nowadays we notice whoever takes to spiritual direction, whoever has a little spiritual inclination, they are either pursuing Buddhism or they are pursuing Mayavad of Shankaracharya. Why? Because both of them are akin to atheism. These people are atheistic. They don't want to accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's why it is convenient for them to go for voidism and impersonalism. There they don't have to accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Prabhupada came and made it very clear. Krishna came, made it very clear. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, made it very clear. What is that? You are a living entity, a part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the ultimate objective of your existence is to surrender unto Him. Until and unless you surrender unto Him, your life is completely a waste. Spiritual life begins with this surrender. Therefore we find, what did Prabhupada do? When Prabhupada presented Bhagavad Gita, look at the introduction of Bhagavad Gita. What is Prabhupada pointing out right at the introduction? The last instruction of Krishna is the first instruction of Prabhupada. Surrender unto Krishna, then we can talk. Unless and until you surrender unto Krishna, it's a useless waste of time. And if you want to compete with God and want to become God, good luck. Abhyakta shakta chetasham, abhyakta hi gatir dukkham. Suffer. If you want to suffer, suffer. But if you want to surrender, if you surrender, then what will be the consequence? You surrender and you enjoy. Surrender means you accept the master. Surrender means you accept your father. Surrender means you recognize that you have a very rich friend. And you approach him whenever you're in difficulty. Will you have any problem? If you have a father who is the richest person, will you have any problem? No? If you have any problem, all you have to do is pick up the phone and say, Daddy, I have some problem. What will father say? Maybe he will chastise you for 2 minutes. And then he will say, okay, fine. I'll take care of it. So that is Krishna. When you have this opportunity to surrender unto this Supreme Personality of Godhead, why shouldn't we do that? And in this respect, Prabhupada gave a wonderful example right in Bombay, right on the beach, Juhu Beach. Prabhupada was walking with his disciples in the morning, and Prabhupada pointed out some stray dogs in the beach. And Prabhupada also pointed out that some people are carrying their dogs for a morning walk. Dogs in the leash. Prabhupada asked, what's the difference between these dogs and those dogs? And he said that these dogs don't have a master, whereas these dogs have a master. And you can see the difference. The dogs with master, they look so happy, so healthy, so well groomed. And the master is taking care of them. Master may be a millionaire, but he is taking his dog for a walk. Whereas the stray dogs, dogs without the master, they're just struggling for their existence. They're howling at each other, just bickering over a little bit of food. Now this is the difference. You surrender unto Krishna, then you will see what happens to your life. You want to be independent and you want to become Krishna's competitor, good luck. We'll watch you and see how much you are suffering. So choice is yours. You decide for yourself what kind of life you want to accept. So this is how Srila Prabhupada created an inconceivable good fortune for the people of this world. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question or comment? Yes, Devakinandan Prabhu.
It is surprising that how the follower of Lord Buddha, they don't accept him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But whereas a Vaishnava,
yeah, that's true.
We understand the position of Lord Buddha, why he came and so on and so forth.
Yeah, very good point. Very good point. Like the Buddhists don't accept Buddha as God. They simply consider that it's a state. It's a state of existence. Anybody can become Buddha. He is one of the Buddhas. Maybe he's the first Buddha. But, yeah, thank you.
Other point also you made very nice about the building the temple.
Yeah.
So they were like, also, you know, from 0, 1, then 2. So Lord Buddha came, and there's Sunyavadi, just 0, everything 1.
Okay.
0. And then Sangracharya came, said 1. And other Vaishnava, Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, Vishnu Swami said 2. But Lord Chaitanya said, no, there is a relation between these two. And Jiva Re Sarup Hai Krishna Nita Das.
Very good,
we have
thank
service
you.
Point.
Even numerically we can prove it. Thank you, Devakinandan Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much for the wonderful lecture and very wonderful explanation of different acharyas, how they helped in evolution of the philosophy. Maharaj, my question is that I have understood Krishna consciousness as a process of utilizing the energy of the Lord in the service of the Lord. Okay? And in the lecture you mentioned of the verse of Bhagavad Gita which says that Bhumi Rapo Anala Vayu Kham Vano Buddhir Evacha Ahankara Apareyam Vinay Bhutti Rastada. Okay, so the Ahankar is one of the energies of the Lord. Ahankar is false ego. So Maharaj, I would just like to ask, how can we use our false ego in the service of the Lord?
Yeah. Just offer your Ahankar to Krishna and become his servant. So that's how Ahankar is transformed into your real identity. Ahankar means false identity. Right? So when you engage yourself in the service of Krishna, then your mistaken identity or ahankar, false ego, becomes your real identity, which is a servant of Krishna. Any other question? Yes, Nitai Chandra.
Thank you, Manit, for a wonderful class. I had a couple of questions. Actually, Prabhupada's pranam mantra, Prabhupada himself devised, and I mean he mentioned like, you know, defeating Mayavad and Buddhism. But if we see Prabhupada's activities, I mean that time, especially the West and like the whole world in general was stooped in materialism more, as against, I mean, you know, relatively the percentage of people like really interested in spiritual life and following the Mayavad philosophy was less as compared to people deeply stooped in materialism. So like, I mean, that was Prabhupada's special contribution that, you know, he could give this knowledge in that way.
Yeah.
So how can we
understand? You see, there is nothing wrong with materialism. Because from material point, with proper training, proper education, proper information, you can come to the spiritual platform. Right? But the problem with Mayavad and Shunyavad is that it appears to be spiritual. But its reaction is completely opposite. From matter, you are not going to spirit. Whatever possibility of spiritual development you have will be completely destroyed by following Mayavad or Shunyavad. Right? That's why the purpose of Prabhupada's coming or going to the West was to defeat that purpose. Forever he just destroyed this possibility of voidism and impersonalism by giving what he gave is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Achinta Bheda Vetatva. See, that point actually has been made that about in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He is saying that is pointing out that how Buddhism is atheism. Prachanna Bodham Uchyate, the covered atheism. But then he is saying that Vedashraya Nastikyavad Bodhero Adhik. Then if Nastikyavad, atheism, is established on the basis of Veda, is even worse than Buddhism. Because you see, Buddhism is giving you an impression that it is spiritual life. And that is how it's bewildering those who have some spiritual inclination. But Mayavad, because it is based on the foundation of the Vedas, Vedashraye, Nastikyavad. Nastikyavad means atheism. The atheism on the basis of the Veda, with the foundation of, kind of on the foundation of the basis of Veda, is extremely dangerous, even much worse than Buddhism. Yes?
Thank you, Maharaj. Brahmavadis.
Yeah, yeah.
Are they offspring from Sankaracharya?
Oh, good point. No. Brahmavadis, you can say Brahmavadis are positive impersonalists, whereas Mayavadis are negative impersonalists. You see, Brahmavadis can become a devotee because Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti Shabdati. There are different levels of understanding. One level of understanding is understanding Brahman. Brahman is impersonal. Brahman is without form. It's energy. Therefore it doesn't have a form. Right? And then from Brahmavad, you can go to, through yoga perfection, or yoga samadhi, one comes to Paramatma realization. And then through devotional service, one comes to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So you see, that direction is positive. Like for example, Sukhdev Goswami. He was a Brahmavadi, and he became a devotee. Four Kumaras, initially they were Brahmavadis, but became devotees. But the problem with Shankaracharya's presentation is, he is kind of contesting the Vedic concept. He's not accepting the Vedic concept. He's introducing a new concept. That new concept is called Vivartavad. I discussed it briefly yesterday. Were you there? Or you are not there? You are there in the class. Okay. You see, the positive Brahmavad of the Vedas is called Porinambad. Porinambad means theory of transformation. Porinam means transformation, just like milk becomes yogurt. Milk is a substance, yogurt is a substance. Milk transformed into yogurt, right? Whereas Shankaracharya's theory is Vivartavad. Vivartavad, in simple words, the theory of illusion. Appears to be, but it's not there. And he gives the example that just as there is no water in the mirage, mirage is hot sand, but it appears to be water. Right? There is no water, but it is illusion. Seeing the water in the mirage is illusion. Seeing a snake in a rope is an illusion. There is no snake. So this is how he established his Vivartavad, which is philosophically known as Kevaladvaitavad. And popularly known, common people consider it to be Mayavad. Maya means illusion. Mayavad means theory of illusion. So that is what Shankaracharya is. Now, what is the theory of illusion? Theory of illusion is, Shankaracharya's Kevaladvaitavad is, ultimately, it's all Brahman. There's nothing beyond Brahman. And whatever we are seeing is a transformation of Brahman. Therefore, it is mitha. Brahma doesn't have any form. The forms are illusory. Right? And now it's interesting to see how Ramanujacharya defeated Shankaracharya. Ramanujacharya raised a counter question. Okay, fine. There is no mirage. There is no water in the mirage. But somewhere the water is existing. That's why you're mistaking the mirage to be water. If there was no water, there was no question of mistaking it to be water. Snake may not be there on the rope, but somewhere the snake is existing. That's why you're mistaking the rope to be a snake. So the variety may be not there here, but somewhere the variety is existing. That's why you're mistaking it to be here. And that he establishes through Urdhamulam Adhashakham Ashattham Prahurabhayam. This material nature is like a banyan tree that has its roots upwards and branches downwards. Material nature is a reflection of the spiritual reality. The reflection may be, it may be a reflection, but it's not mitha. And it is reflected with variety is present here because somewhere the real variety is existing. The variety is there in the reflection because in reality, there is variety. If there was no variety, then there couldn't have been any consideration of reflection. So this is how the Vaishnava Acharyas defeated Shankaracharya's Kevaladvaitavad and established the variety of the spiritual reality.
So the whole Brahmavadi school is a Vedic school which didn't catch the whole thing? Or
yeah, right. Brahmavadi can become a devotee, but a Mayavadi cannot become a devotee. You know why? Because for a Mayavadi, there is no consideration of accepting God, Ishvara. Because his philosophy is that Brahma in mode of goodness is Ishvara. Brahma in the mode of passion is Jiva. But if we can overcome the mode of passion and come to the mode of goodness, then we will become Ishvara, we'll become Narayan. Therefore, the Mayavadis address their sannyasis as Narayan. Because sannyasis are supposed to be in the mode of goodness. Therefore, they are Brahma in the mode of goodness, therefore they are Narayan. Now they are Narayan, but later on they'll become Brahmans. Yes, okay, Devkinanda Prabhu. No, it's not switched on.
Somewhere.
Start from the beginning. I didn't hear the first part.
I heard somewhere,
okay,
from someone or read that there are two kind of Brahmavadi, personal Brahmavadi and impersonal Brahmavadi. The personal Brahmavadi, they see Brahma, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, Padanti Tat Tat Vidas Tattvam, they are Brahmavadi, that they see everything coming from the Lord. But the impersonal Brahmavadi, they cut off this part as impersonal, and that's how they are Mayavadi.
Well, the thing is, you can say a Brahmavadi with proper information will understand Paramatma and Bhagavan. Just like happened to Sukadev Goswami.
Yeah, I was just coming up with
and another consideration is that you see, spiritual life is not a matter of one's individual development. It is a matter of being guided by a spiritual master, being guided by a teacher. If the teacher actually gives the knowledge or information. So at some point, like when you are in a primary school, you study one thing. Then you go to high school, more advanced course. You go to college and university. So similarly, Guru takes the devotee through different levels according to his ability. Generally, Brahmavadis are impersonal. And yogis, but they have a possibility. You see, they're not offense. You know, they know that this is the bodily effulgence of the Lord, Brahma. They're absorbed in that. Like Upanishads are generally dealing with Brahman, right? But then gradually it is bringing them into the point of understanding this Brahman is the bodily effulgence of the Lord. So in this way, from impersonal platform, they're coming to the personal platform. And as you said, like one may be a Brahmavadi, he may have his attachment to the Lord, but still he is attracted to the bodily effulgence of the Lord. But the unfortunate thing about Brahman, Brahmavad or Brahman realization, is that there is no possibility of reciprocation of love, loving relationship. Therefore, actually, this point has been very wonderfully explained by Sanatan Goswami in his Brihad Bhagavatamrita. When Gop Kumar reached that Brahman level, Brahman stage, he became extremely worried and extremely afraid, because at that time he couldn't see the Lord. That's the only time when he couldn't see the Lord. So he started to pray to Lord Jagannath. And then he was transferred to the next level of meeting Lord Shiva. Anyway, Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hare.